just a few words.
Mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew, in my room in Las Vegas. We are not in the studio basement. We are in the room of the Tropicana Hotel. And to give a little backstory, I'm in the ABC store yesterday. I'm headed to the ABC store because I need some spicy noodles, spicy instant ramen noodles. When I am recognized by my guest, who says, aren't you headlining down at the Tropicana? Don't they pay you enough to buy more than freaking ramen noodles? That's not really, but that's what we read at each other. Please welcome my guest, Jim Browning. Now, Jim, you may know him as a fellow podcaster and radio DJ, star, celebrity. He's a mega star in Canada. That's why we have no idea who he is here in America. But in Canada, he can't go to the bathroom without being recognized. Mommy, that's the man. So here he is right now, Jim Browning, Revel Stoke Jim. How you doing?
Hi. Yeah, I am all that. I am.
Was that the best intro you may have ever had?
That is the best intro I may have ever had that I didn't write myself.
You're a megastar in Canada, and that's why we don't know you here in America.
Well, actually, you know what? It's quite funny. I am. I have more listeners in the United States than I have in Canada.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Like, in the town that I live in, which is Revelstoke, BC, the coolest little town north of nowhere, there's a lot of people who don't even know what I do.
They just know you? They think you're unemployed, just
yes,
wandering around this small Canadian
right.
town?
That's right.
That guy again with the t-shirt with his face on it.
Yeah, I don't wear that in town. I do not wear that in town. But no, I have more listeners in the United States or where I have listeners in New Zealand. I have, yeah, just elsewhere.
Than your town.
Than my town.
Or
even
country.
In Canada.
I think I might be the same way, actually, because I get a lot of UK listeners.
Right. Yes.
You may also.
Yes.
And on the vlog channel I do for YouTube that the girlfriend and I do,
right.
we get a lot of viewers from the UK. So it's do people in other parts of the world just want to know what it's like in other parts of the world?
I think so. I absolutely. It's like, you know, I'm fed up with the people that surround me. Let me go on the internet and see what life is like.
Yeah, my
out
town
there.
Sucks. Maybe it's better in the UK. Maybe it's better in Canada.
That's right. Well, see, the thing is, I've always said about the United States, and I have lived here at various times in my life, so I feel that I can talk about it slightly. I don't like to get into all the heaviness of life down here because, again, I'm still an outsider. Uh-huh. I have experienced a bit of it, and I have worked down here. But when I'm back at home, I just kind of take it as it is. I'm just a voice because you guys have so many people.
Yeah. Now, along with what you're saying, I was doing a show in London, and I was talking about how I would love to be a star in London, you know, because people, you know, the Beatles come here and they blow up. Wouldn't it be nice to go the other way around, you know, to go to and this British comic friend of mine, Sean Mio, goes, well, you know, that's not really that big a deal. Because London is smaller than most of your cities. The UK is smaller. You know, that'd be like being the biggest star in Louisiana. I go, I hadn't thought of it that way. Because he goes, America is huge. That's why we want to go to America to be a star.
There are more people in California than there are in Canada.
Yeah, so being a star in Canada is like being a star in California.
I used to say that, for example, we have the Canadian Football League. Now, there have been some people who've come to Canada, played football, and then made the transition to the NFL. But if you're going to be a Canadian football player, you're going to be working in a video store in the off season or in the old days when there were video stores. I did know some people who had like, yeah, we have a video store and come on down and we got all the latest VHS releases.
They still have them?
Well, no, not anymore.
Okay, okay.
But this was back when you know, when there were actual video stores. I don't know what these poor guys are doing now. But no.
But that's the way it was in America too. Yeah. In the old days with baseball players, you know, off season they're selling cars or whatever. And, you know, people that were great like Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays, they didn't make near the money that these guys make today for, you know, not playing half as well.
Speaking of making baseball, I saw Pete Rose in a glass box.
Did you see him here?
For 5 hours yesterday.
Yeah. I've seen him several times. He just sits at a table. Yeah. Sometimes by himself. Nobody's there. He's just sitting at the table. It's so sad.
I know.
It's so... Where? What? Which casino was that? Because I remember
that was
seeing
the MGM.
It. Okay,
that was the MGM. On the way to the, we were walking on the way to the tram or the monorail, and I just walking past places, and your brain goes, oh, that's new, that's different than I was last year, and I see this place, and I thought, oh, I don't recognize that, and I look, hang on, Pete Rose is in a box, and he's just sitting there.
Was he all alone?
And he was all in white. Mm-hmm. White t-shirt, white Cincinnati hat and everything. And I don't know if that was some sort of subtle comment on I am an angel kind of. I'm a good guy. But he was just sitting there, and there was guys outside. Come on in, Pete Rose.
Come on in.
Yeah, he'll sign. Yeah.
He's got to feel like, man, I'm depressed. This is what it's come to. People don't even want to come. You got to bark for them to come in. People don't go, oh, Jesus, is that Pete Rose? Get a picture.
It's like that Twilight Zone episode where the guy goes to the other planet and he has like the suburban house. He travels there. The aliens take him. And then the one morning, one of the walls disappears and it's just
like
bars. And he's like at a human zoo and people are walking by looking and...
Oh, that's how they live. That's their habitat.
That's right. So he's just sitting there. Yeah. I felt kind of bad. My wife's not a baseball person. She had no idea who it was. And I'm like, oh, it's Pete Rose. And he's like, oh.
Okay. Pete Rose, is that Amber Rose's dad?
Now, she wouldn't even know who Amber Rose is. Again, that's...
There's another obscure reference that most people probably won't get.
Yeah, and... Like, we do that. All that stuff filters across the border. I mean, we get the American channels. We get all that stuff. But I don't know, being Canadian, I'm sure there are some who just dive into all that reality kind of Kardashian kind of stuff. But
don't y'all have that in Canada? Do you have Canadian versions of those?
No, not really.
No, there's not
No.
Canadiations?
We kind of send our douchebag self.
Oh, thanks. You know? We got Jim Carrey.
What? Yeah, I like Jim Carrey.
Which Canadian douchebag are you?
No, I was thinking of Justin Bieber.
Oh, okay.
You know,
You know, I'll tell you a Justin Bieber story. And this is, I feel bad about this, but I don't really. I always tease people about Justin Bieber, you know, like Bieber fever and all that kind of stuff. So one day I'm driving in my car, and I love anything UK. As you know, and from following me in my podcast, you know, I'm a UK freak. So I listen to UK radio in my car through Bluetooth. And I hear a song one day, and I go, I really like this. It started bobbing my head and going along. And I'm thinking, I really like this. I should Google who it is. At the end, she comes up, that was Justin Bieber. And I was like, oh! Oh! I was ran my car off the road. Seriously, I was like, Jesus Christ. I just liked it. But it's like it matured and got better. And it was a decent song that obviously he didn't write, but performed. Sorry. I'm sure you know the song.
I think I do know the song.
It's too late now to say sorry. Yeah.
I have a friend who does a podcast. His name is Johnny White Trash.
I know Johnny White Trash.
Yeah.
Hello, Johnny, if you're listening. You bastard out there.
And he's very anti-Bieber until he saw something where, I think it was online, some birthday party, and Justin did like three songs acoustically.
Yeah.
And he thought, wow, that guy's got chops. I mean, that's like kind of real.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm conflicted. I just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But
he did that at the one of the UK radio parties, and it was he and another guitar player.
Right.
And acoustic. Wow. Well, you know, he's supposed to be a really good musician.
Right.
I didn't know that till later on, you know, when I ceased to make fun of him and Googled.
It's fun. The radio station I work at, one of the things they told me when I started, by the way, we have a no Justin Bieber, no Nickelback policy. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, one of those I would probably never play, but I kind of like a little Nickelback, but there's a lot of Nickelback backlash.
Why do you believe there's so much? That's a good topic. Why do you think there's so? Why did Nickelback become the joke?
There is a thing in Canada where a lot of people, Canadians who go south, make it big. There's a lot of people in Canada who think, well, if they were really talented, they would have stayed behind in Canada and been talented.
They could have made it here.
They would have made it here rather than going down there. And so there's a lot of people who feel, oh, well, they're all American now. They've Americanized themselves. And listen, I have no problem with people coming south. I've often said the thing in the United States is media is a monster. There's so many people. There's a constant need for content.
Yeah. And constant now.
Yeah.
Even more.
Again, once you've reached sort of the Canadian people, you've reached okay, there's nowhere else to go. Kind of, you've made it big in Canada.
Yeah, right. Now spread
right.
out.
Again.
You made it big in California, Canada.
That's right. Now, continue doing your concerts and working at the video store.
Right.
Whatever.
Now, what makes up a Canadian? And by this, I mean, I was talking to Tracy Skeen, who was the opening act last
night.
Yes. And she was talking about, oh, there must be Canadians in the audience tonight. And I go, why is that? She goes, they're going, oh, and I go, what do you mean by that? She goes, you know, when you go to Canada and work, they're the nicest people in the world. They get everything. They're great crowds. They laugh a lot. And she goes, but some reason when they cross to America, they get this attitude of like, we're better than that. Now, what makes Canada have that? Is that a good perception of Canada? Or
I don't think so. It's so much we think we're better. I think there's a point of view where maybe when we come down to the States, we don't want to draw attention to ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Because you never know what's going to happen.
You're not going to do that with the maple leaf hat that all of you have on.
That's so we can recognize each other.
Oh, is that what that is? There's not some kind of
if you're having
some
a
kind
bad,
of call. Loom, loom, loom.
If you're having a bad day, and you're just thinking, oh, why did I make this trip? And
you see another maple leaf.
That's right. Maple and leaf. It's like there's a you know, the official secret handshake in the street, all that stuff. And you can quickly discuss the fact that, you know, there's no Tim Hortons here. And
is Tim Horton a Canadian thing? Because I have been to Tim Hortons in Detroit, Michigan.
Yes, there are
some. And I've been around, so I didn't know
if there are some in the States.
Okay. But Tim Horton is basically a Canadian.
Tim Horton himself was a, this goes back to sports. He was a hockey player years ago.
But in his off time,
he started a donut shop. He did. Donuts and coffee. And he was, after a few years, he was killed in a car accident, I think.
Oh.
But his legacy continues.
He's bringing
diabetes to the people. I don't know. Don't say good breakfast. I got on the airplane in Calgary the other morning, and there was a Tim Hortons franchise in the airport. And I thought, oh, I don't usually do this, but I'll have a breakfast because I don't eat there anymore, really.
Well, maybe it's just the airport, Tim Hortons.
That's right. So, but I had an egg sandwich, like a Canadian McMuffin kind of thing. And off I went onto the airplane, and the flight, I just felt horrible on the airplane. And it was like, never again. Never again.
So you're not endorsing Tim Hortons to your American listeners here.
Try the coffee. Try the donuts.
But really, just go ahead and have Dunkin' Donuts coffee and Dunkin' Donuts donuts.
Yeah, we don't have Dunkin' Donuts.
Tim Hortons.
Canada.
Tim Horton. They're like the mafia. They
keep
whack
them out. There
every
is...
time they try to come into Canada.
You know, Target came into Canada a few years ago.
For a very short period of time.
Exactly.
Who caused them to fail? Target themselves?
Yes, Target themselves, because they didn't seem to have, from what, everything I read, they didn't have the infrastructure in regards to bringing the goods and items to the Canadian stores. So there was a lot of times where
they'd be out of stuff.
Yeah.
And we can get that for you. We can get it for you.
I go to the big city where a Target is to buy things. I stay at home and they have to order things. No, there was a Target 2 hours from me, and I would drive to this place and I'd go in and you could hear a pin drop. There was like nobody in the Target.
Well, because Target is the shit here.
I would always go to a Target.
Yeah. Me too. Target is my choice over most stores.
Yeah.
Target, and there was a woman that I worked with at the radio station years ago that had never been to a Target. She had just always been a Walmart person because she was from Kentucky, and that was just Walmart was the store.
Right.
And she was like, Target, I've never been. So I said, go to Target one time, just go. And like a day or two later, she's like, oh my God. You're right. Target is the bomb because it's more hipper. It's the fashion is more on fleek, as they like to say in this day and age. It's not just here's some jeans, here's some t-shirts, here's some frying pans, here's a fishing rod. Welcome to Walmart.
I thought it was going to work because, frankly, with the number of French people in Canada, they all thought it was. They obviously thought it was Target, and they got all like
they really did.
Oh yeah, they thought, oh, here we go. It's for us. It's Target, and yeah, it just did. So now again, this same town, which is 2 hours from where I live, it's called Kamloops. There's just this big empty building with a red
with a Target on it,
and yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do with it. It's just sitting there empty, waiting for because it used to be. Oh, there used to be a Canadian firm called Zellers, and then they got bought out by Kmart for a while, and then it just all closed, and then everybody said, Target's coming to Canada, and it's like, wow, that won't fail, and yeah.
How long did it last?
2 years.
2 years.
2 years, I think. Yeah.
I wonder how many millions Target lost by... Did they open them across Canada?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, some of the locations were bought up and have now become Walmarts.
Huh.
Some of them,
because the locations were good and the buildings were all right.
Right. We have a chain called Canadian Tire. It's everything. It's hardware, sporting goods, anything.
But it says tire on it.
Yes, but because that's what they were. You can get tires there, but it is Canadian Tire, and a lot of those places were bought up for Canadian Tire locations as well. So, and you go to Canadian Tire, I call it Canada's official currency. They give you. It's like loyalty dollars. They're called Canadian Tire Bucks,
uh-huh.
and they've got sort of this. Smiling beaver with a kind of logging hat on, and you collect this money, and then you trade it in.
You can actually use it.
Oh yeah, it's like sort of green stamps were years ago.
Oh yeah.
So you collect this, but the funny thing is, it's multicolored, and it looks like Canadian money to begin with because our money is all
except it has a beaver instead of the queen.
That's right. But hey, don't make fun of the queen. The queen is like. Canada's grandmother. That's how I look at her.
Canada's grandmother.
She's Canada's Nana. That's how I think of her.
I got in trouble in England years ago by just running up to old women. I'd run up to old women in London and go, are you the Queen? Are you the Queen? And the British comics that I were with are going, that's not funny, mate. That's not. I go, it is to me. It's to me. It's, are you the Queen? No, you should stop that.
I have an official portrait of the Queen from when she was maybe 35. Oops, let me.
Your Apple Watch went off.
Yes,
you got to take medicine.
No. But if, I guess in the podcasting circle I'm in, I owe everybody a beer now.
Mm.
Because if your phone rings or something
during
like
the podcast,
that, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
But well, no, I have this portrait of the Queen from when she was like 35 years old.
Wow.
I got it from some... It's her.
You got it at an antique shop.
Actually, they were closing a high school and they were gutting it before they tore it down. And I was walking past the dumpster and there was this portrait in the dumpster and it was the Queen. And I thought, nobody puts the Queen in the dumpster.
Nobody puts a baby in a corner.
That's right. So I took the Queen out of the dumpster and I took her home and she's in my studio.
Oh,
so she sits there right next to my, next to my 12-inch ceramic Colonel Sanders.
Well, let's talk about your podcast. Let's go there. Tell everybody what you do and how your podcast works.
Oh, gosh. My podcast is – let me just real quick backstory.
Okay.
I started broadcasting on the internet in 1998. There was no podcasting word. There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. There was nothing.
There was just that kind of...
That's right.
Would you use real audio?
Yes.
Or,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Real audio was the big... Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the deal. I started in 1988. Through a twist of fate, I got connected with an American company called Play Incorporated, and they created this online internet broadcasting network called Play TV. We had 12 hours of live broadcasting a day. I did a 2-hour show 5 nights a week. I played music. It was called at the time, it was definitely not the CBC with Revelstoke Jim. And I would play some music. I sort of told stories. I used to have to give out my phone number on the internet and say, if you want to be part of the show, call me.
Your actual phone
number? My actual phone number. It was just like microphone next to speakerphone.
Uh-huh.
And just people would call. They would spend their own money
to call. Yeah, but that was new, exciting technology at the time.
Right.
Because that's why I remember real audio, because I was captivated by that myself.
So I did that for a number of years. And then the guy who founded the company passed away. And then the tech bubble kind of went poop. And then there I was up in Canada, kind of all by myself, because I would go down to the States every 2 weeks, do the show live from wherever they sent, Las Vegas, lots of times, New York, New Orleans, NAB conventions, NATP conventions, real audio streaming conventions. And I would do this sort of elaborate, kind of exaggerated Canadian character, which is not too far from me, but he's Revelstoke Jim. I'm just Jim in normal life. And that was great. So it all ended. I tried to get something like that started in Canada after it ended. And people would say to me, broadcasting on the internet? That'll never happen.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
Who's going to broadcast?
Who's going to listen to that? Wouldn't they get this free right in their car?
Right. And I talked to radio stations and things like that. They said, well, that broadcasting on the internet, again, that's not real broadcasting. You have absolutely no experience. Meanwhile, I have been on stage at the convention center. I've had thousands of people watching me do what I do. And I'm thinking,
but it's not real.
But it's not,
real.
I had a guy phone me long distance once after I sent him an information package, said, I'm phoning you about your internet work and all your stuff. He says, it's amazing. It's great. And I said, wow, really? He says, and I'm thinking, finally, I'm going to be doing something here in Canada. And he says, yeah, but I wanted to phone you and tell you, nobody is ever going to hire you.
It's great, but
yeah,
you're never going to get
more. And I said, oh, they're not? He says, no, you're too creative. Radio doesn't want creativity.
Well, they don't.
No. And he said, nobody's ever going to hire you. So, and I was like, oh, okay. So I just said, you know what? I don't need them. I'll continue doing it on my own. Technology sort of gradually improved. Social media came along. And about 5 years ago, I hooked up with a guy I had worked with at Play TV. You may know his name. He was a radio guy in San Francisco, Alex Bennett.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Alex did all the comedy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So he and I had met at Play TV, And he was doing something now. He had left Sirius and he was doing his own thing out of New York. And he said, you want to work together and do this? So I said, okay,
let's try it.
Let's try it. Again, the internet had got better. He says, but you can't play music because obviously things had changed. People who own the music don't want you playing music on the internet.
Right.
And I thought, okay, I will come up with something different. So I started doing three nights a week. And on Mondays, I called it Moose Poop Mondays. And I would tell this story called the Moose Poop Stories. They're like half hour, 45 minutes. And they're kind of a monologue about a couple of characters I had living life in Northern Canada. A guy.
Was the town called Moose Poop?
No. The town is never spoken of. It's
just this place.
It's just this place out in the woods, on a little gravel. It's a little shack on a gravel road just down from the historic cemetery. The guy who occupies it, his name is Woody, and he has a dog, a big black Labrador that basically exists on stale donuts. His name is the Glazed Duke.
Uh-huh.
And it was just stories and the people sort of in that environment.
Kind of a Canadian Lake
Wobegon.
Yeah, Wobegon.
A little twisted at times.
Right.
So I would do those on Mondays. On Wednesdays, I came up with the idea, because I love old radio, let's make it like an old radio comedy drama show. So I would come up with an outline. I would create the sound effects. And then I would basically improvise an audio adventure.
Holy shit, that sounds like a lot of work.
It was. But I'd open up the Skype lines and people would call in and partake in the adventure.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite was Journey Beneath Revelstoke, where we went in through some caves. We found some dinosaurs. We got chased by a T-Rex. And so I'm basically having to keep all this story going. And people are trying to pick up on my cues. And I'm playing sound effects. So I did that. And then on Friday nights, I called it Catch Up Friday with a K. And we'd just talk about stuff. It was more like a talk format, yeah. Just about anything people wanted to talk about.
Right. That right there is kind of what got me going on my podcast.
Yeah.
Was just wanting to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was on Real Radio.
Right.
I did morning radios in Denver.
Yep.
And again, like you said, the creativity doesn't really matter. Let's talk more music. Let's talk more music. Well, I'm a comic. You know what I do for a living? I talk. And if you don't need me to talk, you don't really need me. And my perception, and I've told you this before, is that everything is fodder. Everything is fodder for material. Like you and I were walking down the street here in Vegas yesterday, and I pointed out, look, none of the escalators are working in this town. That right there is a topic. Do you talk about escalators? Do you have an escalator story? As a child, did you get your toe caught in an escalator? Do you see what I'm saying? There's so many ways to talk about any subject in the world. You know, do you have a fear of escalators? Have you ever stood behind somebody that you just go, bitch, I'm about to push you if you don't step off on this escalator? Have you ever stand behind somebody that's almost afraid? Like, you're an adult and you're afraid of a freaking escalator? So you see what I'm talking about? And program directors can't get that. They don't understand that you can take a subject and run with it. Just because you can't do it doesn't mean I can't do it. I had a program director go, you should never crack a mic unless you know what you're going to say. And I go, I do that every fucking night I get on stage. I just walk out some nights and just look at the audience and go, I'm going to talk about this, you know?
Yeah. It's like my Moose Poop Stories. I have written some of them previous, but there, sometimes I just make notes and I open up the mic and I start and I will start the story and it comes out. It comes out. And sometimes I'm telling the story, but my brain is already jumping ahead to how I'm going to end the story. And so I don't know how it happens sometimes. It's easier for me to almost do it live. I couldn't do it to a recorded mic.
Uh-huh.
It's like I have to do it live and have people listen.
Yeah.
And then I have to go back and run the audio through a dictation thing to see
what you said.
Yes. Because,
do you have it? Is that for real? Is there like a dictation?
Yeah. In Apple, I can just put it through the dictation thing.
It'll come out word.
And it, yeah.
Holy crap! I need one of those.
Some of the
words aren't quite right.
Yeah, so you have to go through and kind of proofread it after. But again, I don't want to have to sit there for however long.
Like a stenographer.
Yeah.
Stop, start.
So that's what I do. And now I think I have close to 100 of those stories, and I'm trying to put them into some sort of
moose poop book.
Yeah, I would like to sort of break them up into different things.
Yeah,
I've been taking a break over the summer. I want to start up again in September with sort of the next series of moose poop stories, because I left my previous situation last October.
Your real radio situation.
No, with working with Alex.
Okay.
And his network. We're great friends, but when it comes to working together, we kind of have different ideas, and he wanted to do his thing, and it's much kind of, I don't want to say it, it's not, I'm not saying this badly, it's a little more American. He gets people, he's doing like talk stuff, and you know, there's no talk radio in Canada.
None at all?
They're, you know, like how you guys have your talk radio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this guy sucks, and this guy sucks.
Yeah.
We don't have that. We just don't. There's not that.
They even have that in the UK. I listen to UK talk radio. How does Canadian is like the stepchild of the UK.
We have, like, there's sports radio, but there's not really.
You can't listen to guys discuss curling and what went wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't think he sweeped them fast enough. That's what happened out there. If you ask me, it wasn't sweeping fast enough.
I've been curling a couple of times. It's an experience. To me, it's drinking on ice.
Drinking on ice. I've heard that description of softball for America.
Okay.
You know, what is softball? It's a reason to drink beer and swing a bat. And a friend of mine, another comic, goes, it's basically baseball for drunks. Why do you think the ball is that goddamn big? Because that's so your drunk ass can actually hit it.
So I'm starting up again in September. I'm now on the local radio station in Revelstoke, Stoke FM 92.5.
Uh-huh.
So people can listen locally, which is a little scary.
Like a 35-watt channel?
No, it's bigger than that. But it's also streaming to the... So everybody who has listened...
Streaming will never take off.
That's
people
right.
will never listen to stuff on the internet.
That's right. I had to wait till that generation of kids started to get in charge of things.
Yeah.
To where they understood that...
The old regime had to go away.
Exactly.
It's like that in real radio. I mean, it is like that now. They still live in, this is the way we've always done it. I'm sorry. It's a new.
Yeah.
My son, in his, one of the 20s, he's
right?
in his 20s, doesn't listen to radio. That his group of friends don't do it. They listen to podcasts.
Yes.
They listen to downloads.
Right.
They watch YouTube instead of real TV. Things have completely changed, and the executives don't understand that. There's a few that try to, and they're still being pushed down. But I think that's why you and I and other podcasters and other kind of went, this is the way it's going. It's headed this way.
The radio station was basically, they wanted to find a way to sort of be a little more modern, not just standard radio. And they wanted me to be able to bring, I consider what I do interactive audio. I'm connecting with people. When I started doing this, you had to sit in front of your big beige computer in your house, whether it was in your
with the basement. Giant monitor.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how you had to watch or listen to what I did.
Yeah.
Now, it still confuses me when I'm doing something live and somebody is listening in the grocery store.
Yeah, on their phone.
On their phone. So they're invested in that personally. They're not just, oh, that's just background music. They're plugged into their ears. They're listening to me. So I bring Skype into my show. I bring Twitter into my show. And that's what the radio station kind of wants to do. They want to make that connection with people.
That's good. That's really good.
And plus they realize that it's not just the local people listening. It's if they put out a product that can appeal to worldwide, maybe people will think more about, hey, I wouldn't mind going to that Revelstoke place. They got this big resort. I've heard about it from this guy.
From the radio show that I listen to online.
And people come. So yeah, I am the oldest person at the radio station, but I seem to have the most knowledge about.
I'm the same way. I'd be your American equal because, I'm all about everything new.
Yes.
I don't care what the newest app is. I'm going to get it. Yep. I'm going to use it. Is it Snapchat? I'm doing the Snap. People go, what are you on? I own Snapchat, Instagram, yes. Twitter, YouTube. I'm on this. Why? Because that's what people do.
Yeah.
And you have to learn that. And I have so many friends that are like, oh man, I can barely work Facebook. Why would I want to get on Twitter? Basically, probably because you're not smart enough to get it. And I don't mean that in a bad way if people aren't on Twitter.
Yeah.
But you have to be smarter than Facebook.
Yes.
Twitter is not for dummies.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, I got on there once and I tweeted and nothing happened. You know what happened when you tweeted? Nobody saw it. If you don't have followers, they don't see your stuff. Well, how do you get followers? You go follow people. You work Twitter.
And you work those hashtags too.
Yeah.
You work the hashtags. People are not going to out of the blue just type into the search engine on Twitter.
Revelstoke Jim.
Yeah. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They have to come across it some other ways.
Well, do you ever use fake hashtags? I mean, and not by fake.
Yes, no, yes.
I do that too.
Yeah.
Like something I really want more people to see,
I'll
put hashtag Obama. hashtag Hillary. You know what I mean? So it just falls into a group of, hashtag assassination attempt.
But I've been using, for example, most reaction I have got on this trip is I've been using a lot of Instagram and putting all the different hashtags, I've just been getting a lot of traffic towards my Instagram posts while I've been here in...
Because people
want
to see what you're...
Yeah, they also go to Twitter and everything, but I really enjoy the social media. I sometimes stumble over the fact when I'm on the air trying to list all of them, and I just basically say, if there's any platform of social media, if you type in Revelstoke Jim, you're going to find me somewhere.
Yeah.
I think I've got that cornered.
Yeah. I say a lot of times when I'm on guests on shows or people will go, well, how did people find you? And I go, Google Steve McGrew. That's all I say. I just Google and I go, you'll find everything that I ever do, whether it's my stand-up, radio show, podcast, YouTube. It's easier than going, find me on Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes, I'm on a hashtag.
I love that. So hopefully.
Does your wife ever get annoyed with your social media addiction?
Yes. Yeah. Because she does not have a phone. She has a Twitter account, but she does not tweet. She only uses it to read. Yes, she does get annoyed. Somebody was also asking me, does your wife get upset with anything you say? No, because my wife does not listen to me on the air at all. She has never listened to my podcasting stuff, never listened.
Are you kidding?
No, she does not listen because she does not, especially in a small town, just in case somebody in town was listening, she never wants to be in the position where somebody comes up to her and says, do you know what your husband said? And she wants to be able to say, I have no idea.
Well, see, my girlfriend is totally the opposite.
Yes.
She will listen to everything, read everything, and in a good way, because she kind of wants to be like, do you know what he said? Yeah, I do. And I don't have a problem. She doesn't want anything to blindside her.
My wife's only concern is, at the moment, she's a high school teacher. Ooh.
Did the air just kick in?
I think the air just kicked in.
I think it did, and I had it turned off. Wow, does it hit a certain temperature? And it goes,
I guess so.
We must save the planet. Hold on a second. Let me check that again. I'll be right back. It did. It just turned itself on. Okay, and we're back. That was weird. The fans just kicked in.
No, I wanted to say my wife is a high school teacher, and it seems that now some of her students are starting to find me.
Uh-huh.
And that is her concern that she says, be careful what you say. And I said, I don't talk about anybody locally. I just don't. So I'm not concerned with somebody. If a kid's going to
listen. In your Moose stories, you're saying.
Or just anything I do online, I don't tend to. See, the other thing is, my Revelstoke, my internet Revelstoke is different than Revelstoke in real life. My Revelstoke has I mean, we have a lot of bears in Revelstoke, but like I used to have a nightly, I called it Paw and Order. We had a nightly bear report.
Dun, 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 dun,
exactly. Dun. Exactly. I have the mayor of our town living in a shack on the side of the highway selling bait and tackle. My Revelstoke is a little more exaggerated. I broadcast.
Your Revelstoke sounds a lot like Northern Exposure.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I remember it quite well.
It just has that kind of, you created this world.
I've actually been there. Roslyn, Washington.
Really? You've been there?
Oh, yeah. It's a cute little town. But, it's that kind of thing. And that all started to disappear once Google Earth came along. And I would describe things, and people would go on Google Earth. And
say, no, it doesn't. I looked up the corner of such and such
that's
and such
right.
and such.
Oh, yes, no, the Log Broadcasting Center, built in 1908 for the express purpose of broadcasting on the internet, even though it hadn't been invented yet, is at the corner of First and Main. Well, it's technically not really there. And people are like, yeah, there's nothing. There's a coffee shop there. And it's like, oh, sorry. It's kind of like it's theater of the mind. People just enjoy.
Just go with it.
Yeah. And that's all. It's. Yeah. So.
Do you think people that's a perfect transition into just real life. Do you think people in this day and age take everything too literal? Just absolutely too, like you said, they Google is not, it's not there.
Yeah.
That's not real. Well, no, it's, you know.
No, I think people do take things far too literally.
Just, they want, like, that's not the truth. Well, no, this is called art. This is.
Yeah.
He's lying to us. So to get on Twitter, like, it's not real. I Googled. It's not, you know what I mean? It's like, just shut up and enjoy life.
Yeah. Lack of imagination is.
Very much lack of imagination.
Yes. I've always said the people who listen to me get it. They get it. They have that. And they usually turn out to be imaginative, creative people who get it. They understand what I'm doing. And the people who, you know, there's that old joke. I don't know who told it, but they're talking about the beginning of the moon or that scene in E.T. where the bicycle flies past the moon.
Yeah.
And the comment, you know, he said his girlfriend turned to him and said, as if. Okay.
But what a great shot. What art.
Yeah,
what art was that?
But still, it's not real, yes, but yeah, the people who get me, and they have stuck with me. I'm amazed that I have people still listening to me from
years ago.
1998. Huh? And they've come back, or they've always stuck with me through. There had been a couple of years where there was a gap for health stuff and just various other things, and they come back. And then the new people. The younger people, who again are much more internet savvy, they get it. Mm-hmm. And the older people who maybe listen to old time radio or something, I kind of feel at times I'm straddling that fence of old people who understand what I'm doing and young people who have never heard anything like this, who think I've created this new format.
Yeah, well, everything old is new again.
Exactly.
So to them, they're like, oh my God, I've never heard anything like this. And then the door opened. And they walked in.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, you know, in my off hours, I'm, instead of TV, I'm listening to old Fibber McGee and Molly.
Yeah.
And just thinking how great this is, a bunch of people standing around a microphone. When I started at Play TV, I was doing audio. And I loved it because, again, I could make anything happen. But they also, they were deeply invested in video equipment and software and hardware. And they wanted to utilize this stuff.
That they could watch you do what you
Right. So all the other shows had a video component.
All right.
Jim in Canada
was audio, and they said, you're going to have to start doing video.
I don't want to.
Oh, exactly. It's like, how do I do this? So they shipped all this, like, tons of electronic equipment. They sent people up to Revelstoke. They got it all set up, and they said, there you go. And it's like, okay, now how do I create that? So I created, because I'm a graphic artist at the same time, I created animated, like television graphics that I could cut away to. And because I do some of the voices for the characters that I portray in the shows, but I don't want people seeing me.
See you do that.
So I would cut away to these animated graphics and have a certain person phone the show, or just various other things. And it worked. They had a green screen technology, and if we'd cut back to the shot of me in the log broadcasting studio, and you would see this log cabin behind
because
me.
Because of the green screen.
Yeah, and so that
That's
worked.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, it worked. And I found a way to do it. But now I love audio. I just do.
Yeah. I get, sometimes, like you said, you got the video came in and you were almost didn't want to use it. Not sure. This isn't really what I do. I feel that way a lot of times now with, Periscope or, Facebook Live.
Right.
And when I do it, people enjoy what I do. Like I did one of those videos. My deal about Make America Great Again.
Yeah,
when I was a kid, that's gotten 28,000 views. And people are like, you need to do more of these. Why don't you do more of these? Well, every time I sit down, sometimes I put the camera up and I get, nah, this is stupid. And then I don't do it. I don't feel comfortable enough. And I don't know why, because I get on stage and do it. I don't know why the technology of performing to a little tiny camera affects me. But I can see exactly what you're saying. Like, this is not what I feel I'm best at.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on the video aspect. It took a lot for me just to sort of, it was a locked off camera shot and it was me. And again, I just see, like with nowadays, I don't want people watching stuff. The reason I don't do a video show is because I want them doing other things and listening to me. If they actually have to stop and watch something, then
they may turn you off because they got something else to do.
Exactly.
But if they're just listening, they can slide the phone in their pocket and Bluetooth it or whatever.
Yeah. But I mean, I love your YouTube channel. I like those. And I think, see, the problem is with a lot of people, they want to do this long format thing. I don't think people have time for that anymore.
Yeah.
I
try to keep mine 10 to 14 minutes, basically.
Yeah. So that's the other reason I kind of like doing things shorter. I liked your Pledge of Allegiance thing. I have a story about that. When I was living in the States as a kid, we would still have to stand up at the beginning of the day in the classroom.
Uh-huh. Hand over your heart.
Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm the Canadian kid in class.
Did you just sit there?
No, I stood up and I lip-synced.
Oh.
I kind of, like,
you faked your honor. You faked your love of the country.
No, but see, I think it was balanced out because I did become a Boy Scout.
Okay.
And I did go along with all.
Do you remember your Boy Scout pledge?
God, no, I don't.
On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty for God and my country, to obey the Scout laws.
Wow.
I can't remember, now I've lost it, but that's part of the whole.
I started as a Cub Scout,
and
then I went to the Boy Scouts, and then we came back. But no, I just remember standing there and I was thinking, okay, I don't want to draw attention to myself, but I'm the Canadian kid and I still felt proudly Canadian. I mean, I'm quite happy to be Canadian. That's who I am. That's just my makeup. But I like the fact that I have this American kind of
sensibility.
And understanding and background. It's not like,
well, it's not like we're some kind of weird culture.
No.
See, it's nice that I have this understanding of America.
Yeah,
I've been down there. You tell other Canadians, I've been down there.
I'm Margaret Mead. And
yeah, we're the apes. We're the...
No, it's not quite like
you're,
that.
Was it Jane Goodall or whatever?
That's right.
Jane Goodall. And we're the, I've been there.
Yeah, I gather
I've lived among them.
That's right.
I actually put on a tank top, wife beater, and walked among them in Vegas.
Yeah, and I've done this around a big roaring bonfire.
And we drank beer and we smashed cans against our foreheads. Don't ever try this.
Yeah.
We sang Merle Haggard songs. Oh. It was scary.
I love Merle Haggard.
I do too.
I love all that.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
That's real country.
Yeah. Hey, you know someone you were talking about? Snapchat. You should. I don't know if you follow him. Merle's son, Ben Haggard.
Ben, I follow Ben.
Oh, yeah. He's a goofball.
He is
on Snapchat. He is he's very talented, but he's a goofball.
Right.
And I just get a kick out of his stuff.
Yeah, and you know, he and his other brother are thinking about or have started touring with the Strangers.
Yes,
Merle Haggard's band.
Yeah.
And so they're going to try to keep it alive, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah. So. No, I love all that because again, I had an older father. He was older when he, well, obviously.
So you can relate older. To what Ben's going through. Because Ben's 21 or 22
right.
now.
Yeah. But my dad was born in 1920. So I had sort of all those. I had.
We used to eat cardboard for cornflakes.
Well, yeah, but his musical choices, too. But my mother was younger. So when.
Poop, poopy doop.
No, no. Like when I remember being a kid and my dad would have. And I love Frank Sinatra, but he'd have Frank Sinatra on the big 7-foot wooden console stereo playing, or Engelbert Humperdinck, or something.
It's not unusual to be loved.
No,
that's Tom Jones.
Yeah, but Tom Jones was, my father wasn't 100% sold on Tom Jones.
Really?
Yeah.
He liked Engelbert, but he wasn't sure about
Tom. Yeah,
Tom Jones. I always thought that Engelbert Humperdinck was the Tom Jones wannabe.
Yeah.
That's the way I assumed it was.
Well, my Jim Reeves, maybe, or things like that.
Put
my
your
mother,
sweet lips a little closer to the phone.
My mother would come in and she'd, you know, plop on CCR because there was a big age. And
on
my
your
father,
parents,
would,
your
my father, you know, I mean, Green River would start playing and my father would cast an eye aside like, what the hell is that? Yeah, it was just like so. I appreciate the content of my father's time, and the same as my mother's. So I mean, I really everything I do and enjoy is basically from the 30s up until now, and I bring all that in. But I mean, people like Hank Snow, I got a ton of Hank Snow on my Chet Atkins or. Jerry Reed.
Jerry Reed. Named him after the name of Man of the Cloth. Called him Amos Moses.
There's a great song by the late Tim Wilson called I Married a Woman Who Looks Like Jerry Reed.
Oh, no.
And Jerry Reed performs on the song as well. I mean, they're both gone now, but it's a great song. I just love that. But
well, that's another one of those things, which is perfect to relate for this show, Remasculate, is I think the younger generation does not have references.
Yes.
They do not have good references. If it does not pertain to them, it doesn't matter to them. And just hearing you say that is basically how I grew up. Not having an older dad, but I was around grandparents and extended family.
Yeah.
So I was aware of their music and my music. So if I hear, you know, and he swam all over the dam because he had, you know, like that wasn't my music.
No.
But my grandmother played that on her stereo.
Yeah.
So we have references instead of just like, oh my God, what are you listening to? You know, enjoy it. And I think that's a problem that's missing with a lot of today's kids is they don't have frame of reference. I actually did a show a while back, and this girl came up to me and said, I thought you were very funny, but I didn't understand that shark joke you did. I made a Jaws reference. It was a Jaws reference. And she goes, I didn't understand the shark joke. And I go, Jaws? She goes, no. I go, the movie Jaws? No, I've never seen it. You don't know about Jaws? No, I don't know. How do you not have that? Even if you've never seen the movie, have you never seen a reference to Jaws in another movie? Have you ever not heard of Richard Dreyfuss, who made other movies?
Yeah.
There's the 10 degrees of separation, Everett. They don't grasp total packages.
Yeah, I find that. Sometimes I make a reference and I continue speaking, and then I there's that part of my brain going, nobody's going to understand what you just said because they may not have that frame of reference.
Yeah,
exactly. And then luckily enough, I get a tweet or something while I'm doing a show and somebody is laughing or making their own
reference.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, okay, that's cool. But I mean, I can listen to anything.
Yeah, you can't say something like, you know, I was on stage the other night, this guy in the audience had a beard like Mr. French. You know what I mean? Like, what? Mr. French? Who the heck is Mr. French? You didn't watch Family Affair?
Yeah. Sebastian Cabot.
Yeah, so you know what I mean? You have to be aware of what you have to update references. And that's something that I tried to do a lot. That's one reason social media is great. Who's the new guy?
Who's the new Mr. French?
Who's the new Mr. French? Who do you make a beard reference about?
Yeah. No, I think that's true. And so, yeah, you have to keep on top of it. But again, as I said, I can listen to just about anything. My wife kind of likes the new country. I don't like the new country. And I'm not a fan of rap.
Let's talk about that for a second. My girlfriend is the same way. I do not like new country. One of the reasons I am not still at the country radio station that I was, and for people that don't know, and I don't mean to name drop, but I won 3 CMA awards, 3 country music awards. That's the big one. That's like they all give the singers.
Yeah.
I won 3 of those. I love country music.
Yeah.
I freaking hate new country. And I would always complain that I hated this song. And it's hard to be like, here's the new one from Florida Georgia Line. Those bastards, you know. So I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Now, talking to my girlfriend one day, she goes, well, and we had this relationship where we both liked old country. She loves the Oak Ridge Boys and Dolly Parton. Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, oh, cool. Oh, I love Merle Haggard. Oh, you know, even though she's younger than me, she got it. So we had this kind of in our relationship. Well, she started getting into new country. And at that point, it was starting to drive me apeshit because I don't want to hear it. I actually said, don't play it while I'm in the car. Yeah. Do not play it while I'm in the house. Because to me, you have ruined a style of music. This, you know, jazz is jazz.
Yes.
Hip-hop is not rap. Hip-hop and rap are even two different things. Blues is its own genre of music. Country music is country music. So when you brought this in, give it another name, if nothing else.
Yeah.
That's my deal. So she tries to explain to me, and this isn't a slam, baby, if you're listening. She says to me, you don't understand. The new country it brought together everything that young people like. It brought country music and the rap we grew up with together. And I go, well, that's where you lose me, because rap is the most ignorant shit in the world. I didn't like it in the 90s. And to me, I don't even care how this sounds. If you like rap, there's almost something wrong with you. You're missing a chromosome, a DNA. If that's music to you, that's not music.
Yeah.
That's just a beat.
Yeah.
It's a beat. It's not music. It's not melodic. It's not – the words don't have a story to it. And the whole attitude of rap got to be the gangster street, cred, bad. What is that? How is that good? So when you put those two together in my country music, I went, nope, I'm out. So we don't even do things together. Like she went to Eric Church last night. She goes, you don't care if I go? No. She called me yesterday. She goes, Florida Georgia Line is coming to town. Do you mind if I go? And I go, no, I'll think less of you. But she goes, are you kidding? I go, no, I'm kidding. But no, I don't care, and don't play them in the house. But if you want to go, that's fine.
Yeah, you had a posting. She went to see somebody who was with Dwight Yoakam. I love Dwight Yoakam. I've seen Dwight Yoakam. And you said, I'd go for Dwight Yoakam.
Then we can leave.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I'd see Dwight Yoakam again in a heartbeat. I've enjoyed him forever. I mean, there was that great interview he gave when Johnny Cash got fired from like CBS Records, and he was basically, how can you let the guy go from the label? He built the fucking building.
He made it.
Yeah, I mean, he did this.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah. So I was with you. I thought, yeah, Dwight Yoakam, yes, The other one, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but it was a weird pairing. It should have even been together.
Yeah. I'm sure Dwight was even going, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't understand, and I'm hoping it will swing back the other way to music that is country sounding. To me, if it doesn't have...
Because I was saying this to somebody else. You've spoken to him. That fracking cat.
Yeah.
He loves old country and stuff. And I remember, watching Nashville Now and Ralph Emery and Shotgun Red.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And those people would come on and that was to me country music.
I did that show like 8 or 9 times.
Wow.
You may have seen me in the past. Because I used to do that. The Nashville Now and Crook and Chase show.
Oh, I love Crook and Chase. But I mean, I love...
That stuff.
That era. I mean, I went and bought this Hee Haw box set. Because I remember having Hee Haw on the channel when I was growing up, and it's like, yeah, I'm watching that. And I want to see people popping up out of the cornfield.
Yeah. Salute! Gotta tell you, one of the greatest moments of my life ever. I was doing a show with John Snyder.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yep.
And he was hosting this comedy show that I did. And I go, I remember you on Hee Haw. And I go, I don't remember Dukes of Hazzard, but I remember. Right. He goes, oh, I love doing Hee Haw. And I go, where? He goes, let's do it.
Yeah.
So he turned around and we did, where are you tonight? Why did you leave me here all alone? I searched the world over and I thought I found true love. You met another and you were gone. And he right in my face. I got John Snyder.
Oh, that's
and that was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Wow, that's cool.
A Hee-Haw Snyder moment.
No, I just, again, and my wife being a teacher, she brings home this music that the kids are listening to because... one of the things she teaches is art. So they'll put on YouTube and just play music in the background while the kids are doing stuff. And so she'll hear things that the kids want to listen to. And then she'll buy it on iTunes and she'll bring it. And she says, oh, listen to this. You might like this. Okay. So I'll listen. And it's like, no, I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, you didn't even listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, no.
I didn't need to.
No, I saw where it was going.
Yeah.
And I'm done.
Yeah. My girlfriend will send me stuff. She'll go, this is the new one by such and such. Then she'll text me like, did you like it? No. She goes, you didn't even give it a chance. I go, I did. And no. I think it's one of the best they've ever done. Well, good for you. Good for you. We just apparently now on different music roads.
I know. Nothing wrong with that. Like I said, my wife and I have been together 24 years now. We know where we come together on certain things.
And you know where you pass, you know.
And we don't force it on either one. I just, yeah, absolutely.
Well, here's what I don't understand how... I took Janet to see Dolly for her birthday, Dolly Parton.
Yeah,
you probably saw that on my thing. And she loved it, and Dolly did an amazing show, sounds better than she ever has. New songs are great. And she was like, oh, that was an amazing concert. Dolly was so amazing. And now you're going to tell me you want to see Florida Georgia Line? What is wrong with you? See, I can enjoy all kinds of music where you can't. All right, fine, whatever.
Just speaking of Dolly real quick, I'm not a Miley Cyrus fan, but I saw the video of her doing the Backyard Sessions doing Jolene.
Oh, does a great version of Jolene, doesn't
she? I fell in love with that, and I'm like, why don't you do just that?
Or the version she does of the Bob Dylan song.
Yeah.
There, I can't remember which one, because I have it on my, I have a Miley Cyrus on my iPod.
Yeah, and I went to iTunes, you can't buy the Jolene thing, so... Through ways of the internet, and I mean, I got it on my iPod and my iPhone, but I love it when it comes up, and it's just like, this is
she
amazing.
Has a good voice, she has, but when she's just doing the, I'm sticking my tongue out, I'm twerking, yeah. I'm doing songs about being high and singing about my vagina, I'm not getting it. I'm not
No.
And I want to slap her daddy. I've even said that, too. I want to. I actually have Billy Ray's name drop. I have Billy Ray's. Sometimes I want to text him and go, what the fuck? You're the worst daddy I've ever seen in my life. Why don't you slap her nasty mouth? My mama would have slapped my mouth.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's like I think I was 35 before I ever heard my father swear.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think he knew I was there. And he was talking to some other people. It was in a work environment, construction. And he was complaining about something to them because they had done something wrong. And he just dropped the F-bomb. And it was like, I was just like, I turned around like, what the hell was that? Okay, because I also never swore in front of my father.
Yeah,
and I don't swear in front of my mother. And...
Does it freak you out to hear people do that? Does it, you know...
It freaks me out when I'm walking down the street.
And you hear...
And it just comes out in a flow of words. Yeah. And it's like, really? In public?
In public. People have lost etiquette. That's another one of the things. I mean, I know there's, you know... But, and if I see another person post on Facebook, people who swear or study shows, people who swear are smarter people. Really? I don't want to believe that. I just think you're uncouth.
Yeah, it just really turns me off when I'm walking down the street. It does come out...
Every once in a while.
When I'm recording something. Doesn't come out on the radio, because, I mean, I had a chat with them about that, and they said, okay. Because I had sent them some clips, and they wanted to get an idea of sort of my stuff, and so I sent them some clips where I was interacting with people, because they already knew about the monologue stuff, and... I was talking again to Johnny Whitetrash, and his vocabulary is a little wild.
From the get-go.
Yeah. And so I sent them this clip, and they got back to me. They said, okay, no, we understand what you're doing. That's great. Maybe not so much mention of the reach-around on the radio, because we were making a joke that because he's in Alberta, I'm in BC, we were like... Hands across the Rockies. Uh-huh. We were making an online connection.
Kind of reach around.
And I called it the Great Canadian Reach Around.
Yeah.
We're both sort of promoting each other. And they said, yeah, maybe not so much about that. And I said, okay, you know, that's rare. And so I had Johnny on the radio one night on a Skype call. And I'd play a song, and then we'd come back and we'd talk. And then I'd play a song again, but we could still talk off air. And I could see him sweating because he was just petrified.
So he was going to drop the F word.
On the radio. Yeah. On the radio. So, and he kept saying, I'm doing
all right?
Yeah.
Am I doing all right?
Yeah. So he got it down, and yeah, so there was no problem. But it does bug me. My father got into almost a fist fight years ago on the street because some people were swearing in front of my mother, and he took great offense at that.
Yeah, there's ladies here.
Exactly. There are ladies here. That's what it was. He was one of those old school guys.
Holy crap, the fan. I think just as this room starts to feel like a microwave oven, the fan kicks in. That is the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
But no, I know what you're talking about. So... Let me turn this fan off again.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay. But I just wanted to say real quick that those manners that I learned from my father, I mean, they're in me.
Yeah.
I was in a northern BC hotel bar thing once. I was doing some work, and I was just sitting having a drink, and there was this couple. He was very drunk. She was a little drunk, but he started manhandling her. And it was kind of nasty looking.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can't just sit here and not try to defuse this.
Yeah.
And so big city manners.
Little lady, is there a problem here?
I walk over and I offered to buy everybody a drink. Let's just settle down. And he just stood up and punched me in the chest as just like all the air went out of me. And I just thought, is my heart still going?
Did he just kill me because I tried to be a gentleman?
And then, I don't know if it was just genetics, some caveman thing. I immediately lashed out, and in my best John Wayne haymaker, I hit him in the nose, and he's like pushed his nose like sideways up over to his
face. You broke his nose?
Oh, yeah. And he dropped to the floor. But at the same time, I broke every metacarpal. in my hand. My hand just kind of exploded.
Oh.
And this was a very northern kind of place. There isn't any hospital around. So my hand exploded, and I'm like, son of a... And she drops to her knees to comfort him. and
welcome to the real world.
And she starts just cussing me out. And little do I, you know, bartender brings me a towel with ice. And little do I know, this is like some weekly mating ritual between the two of them. They are a long-term couple.
They get together, go home and have makeup sex.
That's right. And I go back to my room with my hand in a towel and ice. It took me 14 hours between that moment to get to a hospital the next day, and had to go and have every bone in my hand reset. and so maybe just saying stop that behavior is better than putting...
Hey now, you kids knock that off.
That's right.
You kids knock that off.
One too many John Wayne movies.
Yeah. Well... With the fan kicking in for the third time, we are now at an hour, over an hour, when my podcast runs. I usually run this about an hour.
Okay.
So I'm glad that you got to sit down here and do this.
I'm thrilled.
And,
this is great.
Let me go turn the fan off, and we'll wrap this up.
Okay.
Wow, it's on off. But as my t-shirt sticks to my back...
Yeah.
Man, this is one of the... You don't get air in the building. There we go. All right, Jim, Revelstoke Jim, Jim Browning, tell everybody how they can find you, your podcast, and your radio show.
Revelstoke Jim's Canadian content is on iTunes and Google Play and pretty much everywhere else that there is...
Google podcast. Revelstoke.
Yeah, you can. You know what? It's easier. You go to revelstokejim.com. Every single link to every available avenue is there, as well as all the social media links. It's just revelstokejim.com. And again, Revelstoke Jim's on Twitter and Facebook. You can make a friend of Revelstoke Jim, and he will actually befriend you on Facebook and say
hi. And he's been to America and lived among them. He knows.
I can speak American.
He can speak American. He can relate to you.
I can purposely spell words without a U.
Hashtag America.
That's right. Hashtag Canada.
Yeah. So thanks for doing the show. I appreciate it.
I'm glad we met up, and this has been great.
Oh, you know what? Before it goes, and before I know we'll wrap it up here, but I've got to say that. Jim brought me two seasons, season one and season two of Wanted, Dead or Alive, with Steve McQueen, because he knows, and I think you are too, you're an Old West, you're Westerns kind of guy.
Yeah, I get easily distracted by the Western TV shows on MeTV in the afternoon. The
Virginian Bonanza.
Yeah, they distract me from my work. Gunsmoke, Big Valley. I just love all that stuff, and I have all these things on DVD, and somehow I wound up with some extra, and I thought, I'm gonna bring them down because you might appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gunsmoke still holds up. I say that I actually do this in my show every once in a while, because I talk about watching TV with my mom and how we have to watch those shows. And I go, I don't give a shit. Gunsmoke holds up. There's episodes I didn't realize they talk about rape. There's been shows that I'm like, as a kid, I don't remember that. But you're like, the saloon girl comes downstairs and her dress is ripped. You're like, holy crap. You know what I mean?
Chester or Festus?
Festus. I like Chester, yeah. Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
But Festus is the best, man.
So color or black and white Gunsmoke?
I'll take both. I'll take whatever I can get, but I like the color. Cool. I do like the color.
I agree. I like I said, I just love old TV, and I have it for when my mother comes over and visits. If we're going to watch something, I don't want to have to explain a movie that she may have heard about.
Yeah.
I just go for old TV and I can put those in and she thinks of happier days.
I think my mom does the same thing. When we watch one of the shows, she goes, oh, this is a good one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it is. Mom, you're right. This is a really good one.
Yeah.
And I know it is because we just saw it 2 days ago.
Yes. My mother would say, that Richard Boone is such a handsome man.
Paladin, by the way. Have Gun Will Travel, for those that don't know.
That's right.
He was actually in the movie The Alamo, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sam Houston, I think
he was. I think he was.
Yeah. But I just... Yeah, I love all that stuff. And my dad, who is no longer with us, would have loved that. He wasn't much of a TV guy or movie guy. He saw maybe two movies in his life that he liked that I know of later. He liked The Sting, and he liked Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
Those were big. And I remember he house sat for me once while I had to go out of town for a day just to make a day trip. And I said, okay, watch something. Here's something you might watch. And it was Lonesome Dove.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, my mom and dad loved Lonesome Dove. But my dad had a sign. Well, I'll let you finish, but I'm sorry. He had a sign that says, we don't rent pigs, which was actually from Lonesome Dove. My dad had that hanging in the house.
But I came home and my dad was still sitting in the chair watching Lonesome Dove. And
again.
No, still. It was just a date thing, but he had started watching it and he had had to go to the bathroom, but as he said, he held it in because he didn't know how to stop
the tape. DVD.
So he just watched the whole thing.
Needing to pee,
but just concentrating because he just really enjoyed the movie so much, the whole thing. And it's just like, oh, I'm glad you're home. Okay, it's just ending.
Yeah, because I got to pee. I really got to pee.
That's right.
Well, that's the perfect way to end this because I really got to pee. I have really got to pee. So thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, appreciate you listening. God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu.
Thing and poo, and they're underwear thing raising news, and poo licks herself, and Flap contemplates manly things. He thinks about guns and trucks and Stooges three, men and boys, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about booze and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you lay. Oh, won't you come with me and remask you lay?
Hello.